The world is a busy place, and sometimes you wish you could just stop and take a breath. Well, I've got good news for you. An upcoming musical presentation called Stop the Clock, an immersive piano experience, coming on May the 8th to the Charlotte Street Arts Center with Becky Reeser, and I have Becky on the show. Welcome.
Thank you, Mark.
First off, let's talk about this experience. What are you planning to do? How are we going to have this immersive experience?
Well, each piece of music that I present is accompanied first by video projection on the wall. This actually shows you a little bit into my mind's eye of what I see that inspires me. And then there's music, the original piano music that is how I experience a moment. And then there is some short narration, short reflections for me that shaped the evening.
So when did this idea come to you? When did this practice? Is this something you've done numerous times or something new for you?
This is something, the seeds of it began years and years ago. But as it is now with video projections and live piano and some pros, that is as of 2021. And that will take us, if that year sparks into mind pandemic time. And I think that's probably for many artists, a time that, and many folks that you start a different project or different sort of practice. And that was the case for me too.
Did you feel like it was something you wanted to share or something you needed to do for yourself?
That's a great question. It was absolutely something I needed to do for myself. I, at the time, noticed I felt out of touch with my feelings and my own, I would say, I felt like I would like to understand my feelings better or even get to know them and sense them more deeply. That was my general feeling at the time. And so this is the way that I chose to do that.
And these are original compositions too, right? This is something that came entirely out of your own heart and head.
Yeah, I would actually be walking my dog and walking her, I would just start to notice, oh, that thing, say that the way the leaf blew in the wind caught my attention, or that sound of that bird, whatever it was that caught my attention, I started to stop and notice, first of all. And then after noticing and be like, oh, what did that actually do to me? That actually changed my energy inside my body. Why and how? And so then that would be captured on video, you know, whatever I kind of saw. And then the sound would come out, the energy would come out in sound. And that's how that came together.
Meanwhile, your dog is trying to urge you probably forward or trying to figure out what you're doing, right?
She's gotten pretty good at being like, oh, there she is with her camera again. I guess we're stopping here for a while. I'll go sniff something.
Now, those videos you captured to capture the moment, which I think is a brilliant way to do it. I was going to ask you how you did it, because we all have these moments of sort of realization or brilliant thought that we fail to capture most of the time. So the video was the way you did it. Is that what became the projections, or was that something that you went out and then kind of reversed the whole process, found the projections to fit the music?
At this point, they are literally all from my phone. At the time, it was actually a really semi-functional iPhone X. I had bought this iPhone on Marketplace with this idea of I'm going to do this project, and this is the most expensive phone I've ever bought at the time. And then little did I know that it actually was filled with glue on the inside, where someone had patched it together and sold it to me for the price of something, you know, that should work. So I managed to capture all the footage on this phone and put it together and, you know, use video editing to make it look, you know, presentable and effective. But yeah, all from my from that as of yet. And now I have a better functioning device. But at that time, it was that.
I mean, sometimes it's that lends to the story in a way, but it also kind of lends to an authentic, trial of putting it all together. Sometimes those frictions help to inform the force of how much you want to overcome them.
Certainly.
So was video editing a part of your skill set, or was that something new as well?
I had some basic skills. Like I could do an iMovie. And then when I started doing this, I downloaded DaVinci Resolve, and I was totally overwhelmed. But I just took it slowly and used Google. And now I'm actually like reasonably good at putting things together. I did have one video that I had somebody kind of who was a video editor kind of show me, this is what you can do. And then from there, I was able to take it over myself. And now video editing is a lot smoother of a process for me.
A whole different skill set to add on. And of course, so these pieces are written. It's not an improv to the stuff that's on screen, but they're influenced by it, right?
Right. Actually, that's another interesting part of the process. I wasn't really a composer before. And this began as an improvisation practice. And then I would record all my improvisations. And then from those recordings, I would put together compositions, which is actually really reflective of the way that I cook, the way that I sew, the way that I make art. I, you know, do things in the moment and then form something from what I have.
Well, it sounds like it was the perfect approach for this particular one as well, because it began with that spontaneous realization of this is inspiring me in front of me. Mm-hmm. So what kind of compositions are these? There's been words like immersive and soulful and even large scale, although that's as much to the nature projections. But how would you characterize this music?
It's certainly, I am a classical pianist, and the core of my piano expression is in classical music. But I found as I was doing this, every piece of music that I would go to bring out on the piano, there would be a certain style from my like memory experience of music, which we all have, you know, these long lives of music that we have imprinted on us from ever. And each piece would just naturally fit with this different style. So there are ranging from folk music to jazz influence, to an electronic genre, to things that are more like, there's a specific piece by Debussy or by Bach that has inspired how I approach this one. So it's quite the range just based on what sound from my memory felt most matched with that energy moment.
You suggested that this was also partially an improv practice, which feels like it's at odds with the notion of a classical pianist, where it's very specific on the page. And while there's passion to deliver it differently, you're not improvising over Bach necessarily. Was that a challenge to try to free yourself from that? Or was that a natural extension of because of your familiarity with this music?
I think for the like improv as a classical pianist is something that I have worked at over the years to develop the ability to improvise in whether classically or in a different genre. And that's something I've chosen to do. And when I improvise, I might think I want to be in this specific style, or I might think I want to just hear what's that sound I want to hear next and let that thing evolve. I think in terms of the difficulty of shifting to improvising, that is something that I made that practice a few years earlier, is when I was more trying to cross over from reading on a page to making a sound from myself. And in this, for this project, it was more naturally flowing because of that aspect. Yes.
I love, first of all, that you're sharing this, because I think it is a great thing to have something a little less, I don't want to say less intense, but less sort of clashing maybe than our normal lives. Has this always been your goal with piano? What sort of journey have you made through your life in working with piano?
That's a big question. And what it, the first thing that it brings to my mind is that when I was younger, I wanted to do many things that were artistic. And at some point I chose piano, but there were many artistic expressions before that. And in dedicating myself to piano, I remember the moment when one of my professors told me that music and learning to perform it is in itself a spiritual practice. And thinking about that from that point on, I realized, okay, there is something that I can engage with in each of these pieces of music that I'm learning, or if I'm creating something. And I would say that since then, I have always been searching for how can I find that thing inside the music that is what is, quote unquote, worth engaging with for me. And so I do that for myself. And then I think, how can I do that for the people who I'm going to be sharing with as well? How can I provide that interaction for them so they have something that they can engage with? And with time, it took me a lot of years to come back to this idea that I don't, myself as a person, I best engage with art through a variety of angles, not just through sound, not just through piano, although that is my main voice. And so I returned in the last years to just accepting that I can use visuals and I can use literature. I can use any amount of things to find that, you know, that nugget to engage with. And that brought me back around to it.
I love when people have both of those things in mind, when they have something sort of central to their passion, something they've really developed as a great skill, and then go, but how can I augment this with other things? How can I express myself and expand it? Which is exactly what this thing is as well. This is on tour too. Have you had a chance to perform this for people yet?
Yeah, I have toured it through Ontario and Quebec, and now I'm doing my first sort of tour of this in New Brunswick region. And so far, just this weekend, I was in St. Andrews with the Sunbury Arts Center, and then I'll be in Fredericton with the Charlotte Street Arts Center. And then a really interesting one as well will be a stargazing event that my show will be paired with some guided stargazing. It's at a place called Moonbrook Manor, if that's something that's familiar to people, by Alma. It'd be a really cool thing. And then in Shediac Gilmart Festival, as well as here in St. John at the Samuel de Champlain, their theater, in the fall. So there are quite a few places throughout the year that are popping up, and I'm really excited to keep sharing that in New Brunswick.
One of the things I was curious about is what each location brings to this as well, but I've got to ask about this stargazing one. So is that an outdoor performance?
The performance is going to be inside, and it's going to transition us from daylight into darkness through how the show progresses. And it is ending actually with a piece that I'm so honored to share. It's called Perseids. If anyone is familiar with the Perseids meteor shower, there's a good friend of mine. Her name is Louise Campbell. She's a clarinetist and creates music that is very like participatory. This piece is a guided improvisation, and it was co-written with the poet Ian Ferrier. He's a really celebrated poet that passed recently. And so this piece is in response to observing the Perseids meteor shower within one of the Canadian dark sky preserves, where Moonbrook Manor is by a dark sky preserve. So this, I'm going to lead the show with my music from daylight pieces, transitioning through until darkness, finishing with this piece of the meteor shower. And then we'll go outside and do stargazing.
That's that's pretty unique. That's kind of an odd sort of timing for a musician to work to, is it not?
In which way?
Well, I mean, you want to end it at the right time so they can see the stars.
Yes. That's a good, and hopefully the clouds, you know, cooperate.
Yeah. Well, your music will display the stars even if the clouds don't. But you've toured this a fair amount. Has it been smaller locations you've typically been touring to this, or have you had some larger locations? I'm kind of curious about how this changes on the road.
There's been a mixture. In Ontario and Quebec, I was at the Hudson Music Festival and also at Conrad Grebel University College. So those were larger platforms. Then I also did a performance on a dock if anyone knows the area by Cordova Mines in past Peterborough in Ontario. It was a Bowdoin concert. And for that one, we actually didn't have live projections. Folks could access still images from the videos on their devices. And so that was really cool. I had a whole audience of boats coming in. And we had one in Sutton, Quebec, on a big patio. We had a big giant TV monitor mounted on top of the piano and then played the show from there. That was also a really beautiful experience.
So, in the process of doing art, the process of presenting art, often there's additional reflections that come back from that process. Has this changed any as you've been doing it and seeing the responses from people or seeing these places that you've played? Has it sparked new ideas as well?
I have. I'm trying to think exactly how to make how that connection has been. So I do have many new pieces that are underway and projections that are underway, whether they are directly inspired by those experiences or not, I'm not sure. But I think that what has sparked those is when people comment after in a way that, I guess that's what the way that they comment will perhaps encourage the inspiration I have or make me feel like, yes, that is an idea worth pursuing. Someone the other day in St. Andrews said, after that, I just really want to go for a walk, except I hate going for walks. My husband will tell you I don't go for walks, but all I want to do right now is go for a walk and touch some bark. And so then as I'm making new pieces, then I'm thinking, okay, how can I, you know, make that even more tangible? I guess that would be the way that it has most inspired me, taking those comments.
And ultimately, we've got to say that this benefits your dog as well, because it's inspiring you to get out and do more walks, most likely to find more material.
Exactly. I don't think I would have walked so much this winter. I mean, I don't enjoy winter. I do enjoy winter walks, but at some point I get tired of it. But I kept going this winter because I had some things I wanted to video. And so my dog got much more, and she loves the snow. So she was all over it.
Is there seasonality involved? Do you do this in particular seasons, or have you explored each of the seasons with your video taking?
Stop the Clock was actually exclusively filmed in Mexico. Almost exclusively filmed in Mexico. There was a little bit back in Canada, only because that's where I was living at the time. Now living here, it's been challenging because it has been affected by season. What idea I might have that might be cooking, maybe the season changes before that idea flushes out. And so then I have to either let the idea be flexible or wait for the season to come around again. So that has been a thing.
I would imagine too, though, that you kind of want to do different walks every time. You want to keep exploring. Is that the case? Is it driving you to walk in places you'd never even considered before?
You know, I think what it makes me most do is more than try to visit new places, I experience that place more deeply and in ways that I wouldn't have otherwise. Like when you have your phone and you're trying to catch all the angles, I'm like, oh, maybe from this angle. Oh, what if I walk from there? And you really I appreciate it. Even if I've been there, you know, I feel like I've been there so many times, that time felt so different. Yeah.
Yeah. Different times of day, different clouds. Who knows what could change, I guess.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Different lighting and just getting into corners that you normally wouldn't. And
I wonder about the reaction from your audience. You know, normally for a musical act or something, there's a raucous applause or there's, you know, cheers. But I kind of almost wonder if there's a deep sigh of relaxation after each piece you play.
You know, it's funny that you say that because I have yet to exactly figure out how to make everybody at ease with the issue of, do I applaud or not? I don't know. I know I'm supposed to applaud, but it feels awkward because I actually just want to breathe here. But and I often, you know, leave that open, say that people can do what they want. But then if someone is clapping in the corner, you know, everybody else also feels inclined to clap. So I think that's something that it's okay if there's a little bit of do I clap or not awkwardness.
Well, and I mean, you use the word immersive, people being involved in this, not only hearing the sound, seeing the images, but I suspect getting the emotion, getting that feeling, getting that change that comes on to you when music flows through your body. I would imagine that a lot of people almost forget they're there in a certain way. And almost, I would hope that that would be a compliment, that, you know, it really does transport you to somewhere else. Hmm. So you're on tour with this. You're going to be hitting Fredericton on the 8th of May at the Charlotte Street Arts Center that evening. Anything else you'd like to share about Stop the Clock, an immersive piano experience?
I guess the main thing is if that at all interests you, whether as someone who just loves music, but and perhaps enjoys music that is, you know, more visceral, more relaxing. And if you're someone who is a creative artistically, and likes to look at things in different ways, or someone who is musical or artistic and is interested in expressing yourself in different ways, for all those reasons or others, this could be a really interesting show to just experience and engage with. And also, connecting with me, I really appreciate, getting to know other people who this sort of thing connects to, learning what they do, learning what they're curious about, learning their own practices. So if that's something that you also do and explore, you're someone that I would love to meet and chat with.
I think it's interesting to me that in the shadow of the pandemic, this was created. And one of the aspects that's very important to this is the in-person experience, is gathering together, is hearing this and seeing the reactions of others, is being there, as opposed to the, you know, separation of music and visuals we've all experienced too much over the post-pandemic period. So I think that that's going to be a nice balm to that sore that still itches. If people want to know more about your work, and I don't know if you have released music or something like that, that they can, you know, extend the experience at home, perhaps with, where would they go? Is there a place online for them to visit?
Yeah, all the regular social platforms. I'm there as Becky Reeser Music. My website has all the ticket information as well as links to my music, and that's BeckyReeserMusic.com. My last name is 2 E's, 1 S. That's easy to misspell, but if you just put it in Google and my website and music and social links will come up there.
Just to be clear, BeckyReeserSoR.
That's it.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Becky, for joining me. And it sounds like it's going to be a fantastic event. I sincerely hope that you continue touring and bring this maybe on a quarterly basis so that we all have a little bit of a reset. But I very much appreciate you coming on today.
Thank you so much, Mark. Really appreciate it too.